Tiger Nation. I am Byron Hulsey, headmaster of Woodbury Forest School, and I would like to welcome you to the Woodbury Podcast Series. This podcast consists of informal yet substantive conversations with alumni, faculty, staff, and students. The conversations explore how Woodbury's core values empowered alumni to build a solid foundation for their lives, how those core values are taught today by Woodbury teachers, and how those values are put into practice by today's students. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Woodbury Podcast. Today, we're fortunate to be joined by Dr. Jeff Quebec, who is an educational consultant and has recently launched a really interesting podcast called Why Boarding School. Jeff has a really interesting life story to share with us, one kind of embedded in the world of education. And as I say, is pushing the edge here with the creation of a new podcast that has generated a lot of guests. And I was lucky not so long ago to be a guest on Jeff's podcast. And so thought it might be interesting for him to be a guest on the Woodbury podcast so that we might get to know him a little bit and to understand his work and especially what he's learned about why boarding schools are options and should be options for young folks as they imagine an adventure for themselves in these very formative years. So, Jeff, thanks for joining us, and we'll get rolling if that's good with you.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks, Byron, for having me on as a guest on the Woodbury podcast. I appreciate it. It's certainly an honor. As I've gone through and I've listened to a lot of your episodes, it's definitely pretty touching that I've been invited, especially when I see the likes of some of the alums. I think I was your first one was with Robbie.
Yeah, and that's right.
And then, you know, listening to the one on Mike and also your son, your own son, Ben.
Yeah, Ben was on. Yeah, that's right. And then anyway, it's been fun. This is such a great platform for kind of learning and my own growth and development. So it's been fun. And I'm sure you've had a good time yourself. What's that been like for you?
As you mentioned, I started the Why Boarding School podcast back in December. And I've done now probably close to 100 episodes.
Wow.
And it's been great. It's been great to interview people from schools from the United States, from Canada, north, south, east, west, big, small.
Yeah.
All boys, all girls, co-ed, just really a real mix. And it's been awesome to hear the stories and really be able to share the stories. And as you mentioned, we had a great conversation about the Woodbury Forest and you know, sharing really the exciting things that are taking place on these campuses every single day.
Tell us a little bit about you and about how you got into the world of boarding schools in the first place.
So I started off, I'm a proud product of public school. I always tell people, I think I had a great experience, a great education. And as I've always gone through my career and now as a consultant, I've always said to students and families, what's the right school for one boy or girl doesn't mean it's right for you. It's about finding that right fit. But I think over time, a lot has changed. A lot has changed in the public sector. And I think there's certainly so many wonderful opportunities in independent schools. My first exposure to it was really through my brother. My sister and I are both proud products, as I mentioned, of public school. My younger brother is a boarding school alum. And during that time, I had the opportunity to go visit him and get to meet some of his faculty and staff and coaches and really kind of, you know, as much as you could do a deep dive and find out what is this boarding school stuff all about and really became intrigued. You know, one thing led to another and that led to me exploring some options and applying to different schools. And I applied to and was accepted for a position at the Eagle Brook School in Deerfield, Massachusetts.
Great school. Yeah.
And it was a great experience. And it's a junior boarding school for boys in grades 6 through 9. I was there for 22 years. It's a phenomenal
wow.
place and it was quite rewarding. And
what did you do there?
So I started off sort of as the original triple threat model.
Yeah.
You know, for those who don't know, doing teaching in the classroom, I taught architectural design and computer design, which I studied as an undergrad at Syracuse University. And then I also was a dormitory house parent and also coaching. And I think it's a great way to really get involved for a young faculty member right out of college. You really, you know, wear multiple caps and learn about the independent boarding schools and have a really true appreciation for it.
Tell us a little bit about the challenges of a junior boarding school. Some of the Woodbury podcast listeners are familiar with the challenges and opportunities, of course, of secondary school boarding school opportunities like Woodbury, grades 9 through 12. But you're talking about kids in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade who are,
and ninth.
Are boarding.
And ninth,
yeah, and 9, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a special opportunity right now. There's currently 11 junior boarding schools in the United States. There was 10. There was just one that recently added the Junior Boarding School Association. And it's a wonderful opportunity. So traditionally, these students do matriculate on to secondary schools like Woodbury Forest.
Right.
So at Eagle Brook, I think it's an all-boys school, similar to your school. Probably a lot of similarities, but there's certainly, yet there's differences. Similarities would be that there's students who come from not only all over the U.S., but all over the world. These are students and families who certainly value education, and they really want what's best for their son. And Eagle Brook gives them a great opportunity. So one of the biggest differences would be, I think, probably a lot more supervision, to be quite honest, a
Right.
lot more hand-holding, as there need to be. They're younger adolescent boys, really preparing them and guiding them. And I think one of the, true testaments is when you see the secondary schools come and actively recruit the students from the junior boarding schools,
Yeah.
because they realize that first and foremost, there is not that big adjustment from being away from home because they've already been away from home.
Right.
So they can really hit the ground running, and most importantly, whether it be academically, socially, athletically, in the arts, I mean, they've been exposed to that. And the other thing that's pretty unique, Byron, I would say, for junior boarding schools, for a student as they're graduating, and they graduate, as I mentioned, in ninth grade year, say they enter at Woodbury either repeating ninth grade or maybe going on as a sophomore, as a 10th grader,
Right.
is that they can hit the ground running because they have had opportunities to already be captains of sports teams, to be the leads in the school play and have proctor roles in the dining hall and the dormitories. And
Right.
there's a lot to be said about that.
What did you find about the all boys junior boarding school world compared to, in some ways, what you've learned as the host of the Why Boarding School podcast that I know a lot of your guests represent great co-ed schools. What was your own experience like with the boys at Eagle Brook in that age, grades 6 through 9?
Yeah, surely. This is not to disparage any other schools
No.
that might be co-ed, but I think one of the benefits of an all-boys, single-gender education is that it's free of distractions, first and foremost. I think that's a big thing. And especially for young adolescent boys, or as they get into their teenage years, is sometimes they come from environments where it's not always cool to be involved. It's not always, to use the kids' term, cool to get to take, to, you know, to try something new, maybe to speak up in class. And certainly biologically, boys don't mature as fast as girls.
Right.
So during those critical development stages of their lives, I think specifically as at Eagle Brook, it does a phenomenal opportunity of giving these boys that opportunity, the opportunity to step forward and really kind of maybe come out of their shell a little bit.
You see that even in those years, grades 6 through 9, because
Absolutely.
we definitely see it at Woodbury, but you see it, as you say, there's the right kind of school for lots of different kids, and there's not one size fits all by any means.
Yeah, totally. It's interesting, Byron, as I've done the podcast and I've spoken to many admissions officers, in this case, like you, head of school and different school personnel. I think one of the things that always comes back is it's so essential to step foot on the campus of these schools.
Yeah, for sure.
You can spend time on Woodbury Forest's website, and you have a phenomenal website. There's probably some beautiful pictures and some
Yeah.
great things, but you
Yeah.
really need to get on campus and have that sense of a feel of, okay,
Yeah.
can I see myself as a student here, as a parent? Can I see my child here?
Yeah.
I think that's so critical.
We even go a step further than many schools because we invite and encourage boys who are applying not only to interview on campus, but to spend the night.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they're on dorm, and we feel like that'll give them a really clear understanding, one way or the other, as to whether or not Woodbury is a good fit for them. And let's open this up a little bit more broadly. What are some of the big rocks in the jar that you've learned about all boarding schools that are perhaps connected to, and maybe not connected to, what you learned firsthand at Eagle Brook as a teacher, coach, advisor?
Yeah, I think a couple things. I think that, as I mentioned, there's a tremendous amount of opportunity. There's so many wonderful things that are happening on these campuses each day. And what I think I've seen over the years, just over time, is that so many of these schools have become more student driven.
Yeah.
Maybe back in the day that there were the adolescent youth were going to these schools because their parents wanted them to go. Or in fact, you
Right.
could use the term they were sent away. And I think that's so far from the case nowadays.
Yeah.
And schools recognize that. So if there's a student, and you probably can say the same for your school, that steps a foot on campus and you sense they really don't want to be there, but someone else wants them to be there. Well, Woodbury's probably not the right fit for them.
And it doesn't usually work, right?
Yeah. I mean, these are students who truly want to be there. And when students or when these schools talk about being student-centered, they truly
Yeah.
are. And there are so many wonderful opportunities, these schools being student-centered and being willing to make change. That doesn't always come easy for a lot of schools, especially schools with such rich histories and traditions that maybe date back hundreds of years. And I think so many of the schools are doing just a really awesome job of, like I said, practicing what they preach, being student-centered and finding out what the students want. Obviously, it has to work within their curriculum and, you know, work within their mission and their vision of their school. But I think that's something that's been really important. And I think the parents and the students are seeing that when they visit, like, wow, I can get involved in this, or I can take advantage of this opportunity, or play this new sport, or try something new. And when we speak about student strengths, and we maybe make a list of, in this case, if you talk about your son or your daughter, all their strengths, or maybe areas that you'd like to see as a parent them to work on or improve, more often than not, when they step foot on these campuses, those lists change drastically.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
It's awesome. And then, you know, the schools are seeing that, wow, or as a parent, you're seeing, I never knew that my son or daughter actually had these talents or these interests. Or there might be some gaps that date back from kindergarten or first grade. I think the boarding schools are just doing an awesome job of really sort of fine tuning that. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, kids coming out of their shell, but really discovering those opportunities.
I've found in conversations with boys who've come to Woodbury and may have left, say, a K-12 day school where they went perhaps pre-K through eight, if they're eager for a new adventure and are enthusiastic about coming to Woodbury, and you're right, more and more kids these days are enthusiastic about it rather than kind of reluctant. That's not to say that even the most enthusiastic, however, are not anxious or nervous. You know, slightly just measured side, they may not be so completely overwhelmed with enthusiasm right away. They have to
100%. And I think that's natural, Byron. I mean, they're still young. They're going away from home for the first time.
Yeah.
It's so, a new experience. So that's normal.
It's a big, big challenge and change. But I think the boys that I've seen who've been up for it and really kind of wanted to take this step into a new adventure, what I think they also appreciate is that they can chart their own path in a boarding school on a new sheet of paper. Right. I think that sometimes a kid who's been in the same school since pre-K is grooved to be a certain type or to be a certain way that he's always been before. Like, oh, well, this kid's he's the great athlete, or this kid's a great, you know, actor on stage, a real thespian, or this kid's a real musician, or this boy's always the smartest one in the class. And we typecast. I don't think we as adults intend to do it to our own children or to the friends of our own kids, but you know, you can really get grooved into being a certain type of way because that's who you might have been when you were in kindergarten or in first grade. And so going to boarding school, I think, is a great chance to chart your own path on a fresh sheet of paper.
Or how about on the flip side? He's not that good in math.
Right.
He struggles in that area. And then all of a sudden he goes to a school like Woodbury and he has a new environment.
Yeah.
He's got smaller class sizes, a new teacher.
Yeah.
And maybe just all of a sudden math, it clicks.
Right.
And it's that connection with that teacher. And now as the student matriculates their time, Woodbury comes senior year, they're one of the top math students.
Yeah, that's
like,
cool.
Wow.
I really appreciate that. And I say that kind of being the proud former head of a co-ed K-12 day school myself, which has lots of strengths and many, many virtues. But one of the neat things about Woodbury, I think, is that it definitely feels different for the boys when they start at Woodbury. Like they can look back and see it as the beginning of a new chapter that feels very unique and fresh to them.
And there are those boys or girls or students who just need that fresh start, and that's okay. And it gives them that opportunity.
Yeah. I think that fresh start is a really cool thing. What other big learning insights have you had in addition to kind of the fresh start?
Well, I'd say there's a couple areas. I mean, certainly there's an arms race when it comes to construction and changes on campus, whether it be new buildings or, you know, different, you know, facilities. And certainly everyone doesn't have the benefit of having big endowments or, you know, huge amounts of fundraising to do so. But schools that don't are getting creative. I would say that there's certain areas definitely in the extracurricular, whether it be the sports, the arts, I would say a lot of the hands-on STEM or STEAM programs. Actually, I heard a school recently was using the term, at first it was STEM, then it was STEAM. Now I've heard people using the term STREAM, the R being robotics. Yeah, these are sort of driving forces where maybe it puts them over the edges, choosing one school over the other.
Yeah.
The student goes through like, wow, like robotics, or maybe it's their debate club that they're really into, or could be an opportunity for travel. I think schools are gotten pretty creative with that, traveling internationally. And a lot of that too is being driven by these unbelievable faculty and staff members, whether they're veterans, whether they're new to the school, who are coming up with these great ideas. And they're seeing the changes in education and seeing what's driving. And they're saying, we're willing to adapt. Obviously, we're a tuition-driven school, and it's not like our local public school, but what are the expectations of these families? If they're spending this type of money, they're looking for these type of areas.
Right.
We know these schools aren't cheap. They're expensive.
They're very expensive. It's a really expensive model. I was once visiting with a Woodbury alumnus. He said, how many boys are Woodbury? I said, 400. He said, how many adults? And I thought, well, teaching faculty plus staff, that's probably 240. And he said, God, that's like a cruise ship.
That's awesome. So
it's not the most efficient model, but it is, I think, transformative. What about some of the most significant changes you've seen in the world of boarding school admissions over the years?
I would say one thing, I think schools have really come to the realization that it's just not the admissions officers within your school who are controlling the admissions process, but rather every employee is an ambassador to the school in some form. And that literally comes all the way down to whether someone in your kitchen staff,
or
someone
in
the maintenance staff. Yeah. I think that is essential. And I think the schools that are really understanding that and are having some great success. Mm. And it could be something that maybe a student visits Woodbury and they happen to be passing through a painting class. And the painting teacher takes his or her time to spend time with the boy, in this case, and the family, and proudly share about the art department and the painting, and really thinks nothing of it. But it was passionate about Woodbury. As the student goes on and they go through the process, they've been accepted to several schools. But that conversation had a profound impact.
Mm.
And yes, the admissions team was great at all the schools, including Woodbury. But that what that teacher did to really just show his or her passion and love of the school and all the amazing things that are going on in the art department at Woodbury, it's having a big impact. And so I think schools are recognizing that and that it's important. And yes, that maybe took a little bit of time out of that art classes day, but it was worth it in the long run.
When you think about the schools that are really knocking it out of the park with admissions, what do they look like? What are they doing? What sorts of practices do they have in common when they're enjoying the kind of success that they are?
So I think one of the things, I think the admissions teams that work well with the school's communications or marketing team, I think are really just crushing it. And what I mean by that is it's not putting the onus on the admissions team, but they're working hand in hand. They're really truly working as a team. So there's either admission or marketing or communications, depending on what the term you use.
Yeah.
Is they're working well on not only the school's website, but especially social media. Another example, I think, in regards to that would be the social media of schools that have like awesome TikTok pages. Sounds kind of crazy, but if you think about it, in today's day and age, if you were to go ask all your Woodbury school students what social media platforms are on, they're going to tell you TikTok, Instagram, maybe Snapchat. For schools that, let's say, don't have a strong presence in those areas, that's a mistake. Just like we said earlier, as the schools are being a big part of the driving, I'm sorry, the students are being a big part of the driving force as far as where the students, where they're going to want to apply, they're on social media and they're seeing the cool things. I mean, college universities have recognized that, where you have, maybe they're showing clips of, scenes at the football game or some sort of social event. And it might even be a student doesn't even care about athletics or sports, but they're seeing that sense of community. And especially the students have gone through this COVID time where they lack that, or they didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And that those inter, personal relationships. And they're seeing that, wow, at Woodbury, look at the connection among all these students. So I think the boarding schools I've seen that are really doing a good, nice job are those ones where they're working hand in hand. And the admissions team is overseeing that. And if you take it a step further, it's the team that has a social media committee. Mm. While it's overseen by an adult, it's student driven. Because just like you and I doing this podcast right now, and certainly Outridge, you're probably working some technology components of it. These Woodbury students and other students, they can put this thing together in two notes. It's a different generation. They've grown up with that. It's like a TikTok generation. They can put together some awesome videos.
Right.
So I've seen some schools that are really crushing it in that area and just doing an awesome job. And they have a really strong presence. And we always joke, it's not about who has the best websites. Yeah, that's true. But you also have to have a presence out there. And I'm not so sure among your applicant pool, Byron, how much time your students are actually spending on your school's on the school's website. Now, it's important to have a good one.
Probably not much. Yeah.
No, but I do think they're checking out your social media.
Right.
And if they see a social media page that's not being updated, or maybe they do go to the website because they're really interested in baseball and they check out your baseball team's schedule and they see that all of a sudden halfway through the season that you stopped reporting the scores, but you're reporting them for the first half. So their logic going to say, season must have gone downhill or something went wrong. I think certainly an international presence, those that are out there and traveling, and you know, people weren't sure post-COVID how that was going to look as far as school fairs and events. And I still think they're alive and well. And it's a great opportunity because these students and families appreciate that face-to-face time. In many ways, they get a little zoomed out. The schools that are not being complacent aren't sitting back, but going out there, they're visiting different cities, they're doing, and they're also relating to their alumni and development office.
How so?
Well, think about it from Woodbury's standpoint. So your Woodbury grads who had an absolute phenomenal experience, who love the school, they're going to be a great advocate for their school, and they're going to help market. So now they're going to help you tap into those markets and say, you know, I may not know your son, but I went to Woodbury, and let me tell you about my experience. It was a phenomenal experience, and this is how I think it may benefit your child.
When you think about the teachers and coaches who are most effective as admissions ambassadors, what are they doing?
You can have a teacher, as we all know, who can be a phenomenal teacher or phenomenal coach, but maybe they're not the ones that would be the face of the school right out in front.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes becomes a challenge. So let's just say, I'll use an example. Let's say you have an unbelievable tennis program. And you have just this man or woman who's just a great tennis coach. And you have a really talented tennis player who comes through and is really intrigued by the school and the tennis program. At the end of the day, you don't want to be hiding that coach because you're thinking maybe they're not the best, you know, admissions ambassador. It's really important. So I think the important thing is that you find opportunities for each one of, whether it be members of your admissions team or teachers or coach, to learn from each other. And understandably, everyone's not going to be the best, quote unquote, salesperson or admissions ambassador. But how can you find ways to connect and learn from each other? Because every school is going to have those coaches who are awesome recruiters. But can they teach each other? And the same goes true with your other program heads. Maybe it's someone in the visual arts or the performing arts. I think find ways for them to connect to each other. And I think the other thing I think is really important is how about this personalization is as students are going through the process, and if you're fortunate enough and you have multiple accepts, now you're in a position where you get to decide what school you want to go to because you have multiple accepts. There's differentiators. So what are they? And a lot of times it comes down to that personalization. I mentioned the conversation earlier, say with the painting teacher, but what about handwritten personal notes? It's a lost art. A lot of students don't get them often. Maybe they get them from grandma or grandpa at the birthday, or maybe they get them during the holidays or something. But now all of a sudden, when it comes time for the admissions season, beyond getting me that electronic accept letter, congratulations, you've been accepted, or maybe it's a package in the mail with a t-shirt or something like that. What about some handwritten notes that come from these program heads? They don't have any promises on them, but what about maybe someone from the band saying, we're so excited about your talents in the trumpet. We'd love for you to become part of our Woodbury band. It can come from a coach, and the coach doesn't have to go on record and be like, oh, you're going to be a great addition to my varsity basketball team, but rather going to be a great addition to the program. And we'd love to see you. And so now we're getting into some different areas, essentially the student and the parents, they're feeling the love. Wow. So if we're going to invest this type of money, it's a lot of money, as he mentioned, that Woodbury really cares about me as a person. They care about my child. And this is something where I can see, I can see being for the next 4 years.
What are some of the biggest challenges in the quote unquote industry, in the world of boarding schools? What headwinds are out there? What challenges do we all need to be aware of if we're going to be successful?
Yeah, so I think certainly one of the challenges is the sort of impressions of people on the street, what they think about boarding school.
Yeah.
And, you know, the society views. And a lot of that comes through books and movies and films. It's not the success stories that take place every single day in the Woodbury Forest campus. And so I think a challenge is sort of overcoming that. It's what sells in Hollywood. It's the controversy. It's the scandal. It's the excitement, right? That's going to be the really exciting novel.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that's sort of an uphill battle in that case. And so I think the more that you can do and schools in general can do to put the success stories out there. And that's why I started the Why Boarding School podcast, was to really help put those success stories that take place every single day and to get them out there and find ways to do that. And you just can't sit back, as you know, and hope the phone rings or, you know, hope an email comes in or an inquiry comes in online, is to be really aggressive.
Yeah, you got to get on offense somehow.
Yeah, 100%. You got to be out there. But I also think that you have to use, it's sort of like the expression, the bird in hand. So you have so many students who are passionate about their experience. Their parents are passionate, the alums. And so how do you tap into that? So essentially, they're out there and they're spreading the word. So it's not just that admissions team. And admissions should not rely, it should not rest solely on the shoulders of just those that are listed on your website as part of your admissions team. And that it's, you know, in finding ways. And some of that can start right in your faculty meetings, you know, as you enter the summer months and, One of the things there one time I did is every single member of the school committee, the school body, student, faculty, and staff, is we handed out T-shirts. Sounds kind of crazy, but these teachers that maybe around 10-month employees are going to beaches and they're going off and about. But now, if they're wearing a Woodbury, Forest T-shirt, right? It's a conversation starter. Oh, what's that? I've never heard of that. What's that all about? And that's what it's about. It's sort of helping to get that brand out there. We mentioned earlier the social media is another factor. I also think that COVID taught a lot of schools, some of the challenges that are associated with when you rely on one country, right? Marketing only to one or two countries, maybe filling your, in this case, beds with too many students, not being as well diversified. And then COVID hit and that became a challenge. So I think it's always important to be actively seeking new markets to tap into.
What vibe are you getting on the significant cost of boarding school education?
I don't see it going down, if that's what you're asking.
No, I understand that, but I'm thinking just the world that you're living in and the folks you're talking to, what strategies are out there for dealing with this and, addressing it?
So there's certainly a, there's first and foremost, there's a sticker shock, right? There's a sticker shock associated if you have a casual conversation with someone, especially someone that's not as knowledgeable, and you mention what the tuition is, like, whoa. And especially those who maybe can even afford it, it's like, whoa, because that would be a change of lifestyle, maybe to make it happen. So I also think that when you speak about finances to people, specifically if it starts in your admissions office, you have to know your audience. And I'm going to give you an example. Let's say you're having a conversation with a family who's looking at several different schools, and for whatever reason, your school maybe is a little bit lower than everyone else's or cheaper as far as tuition. And you're quick to boast about that or brag about that. And this is a pretty affluent family. Well, the first thing, while you may think this is great because you're saying, oh, this is why maybe our school is different, maybe even better in your mind because we're cheaper, the family may be looking at it as like, well, why are you cheaper? Maybe you're not offering as much. Maybe you're not as good, or something's wrong. And I don't think that's a good conversation starter. And I've seen schools that have done that. I think that's a big mistake. Now, it's different if a family were to come forth and say, hey, listen, we're not too sure about this. Or, we're challenged trying to make ends meet to make it happen. That might be a conversation you might go down that avenue. So there are families who can pay, as you know, who can pay the full tuition. Others, not so much. And the one thing I think that a lot of schools have done a phenomenal job with is really helping to make ends meet by offering wonderful financial aid and scholarship programs. For whether the diversity, as you know, comes in all different forms, and really creating some diverse environments. And for people who are not familiar with boarding schools, I think more often than not, they'd be shocked to find out how diverse these schools actually are. And more often than not, I think it's safe to say they're more diverse than the environment you come from. And I know that's a pretty broad generalization, but if you think of your community, where you live and where you're at, and what type of people are in that neighborhood or that environment, and then you compare it to a school like Woodbury, it's so much more diverse at Woodbury.
Well, and that doesn't even touch the scratch the surface of what it means to actually go to boarding school with these folks. You're shoulder to shoulder and elbow to elbow with your classmates in a boarding school environment, whereas in the day school world, you're going home every afternoon or early evening, and that's just a huge difference.
You're living in the dorms, you're having meals with, you're taking classes from people from all over the world. And if you think about just the classroom environment alone, when that teacher has a classroom discussion, now, first of all, there's no, as you know, there's no hiding in the back of the classroom at Woodbury Forest, right?
No,
The
you
small
can't do
class
that.
sizes. And you think about the different points of view, which is so healthy, all just different alternative points of view. And maybe it's a student who comes from Cameroon, and they're speaking about something from their perspective in Africa that you would have never thought of. And you're like, wow, that's kind of interesting. What an awesome experience. And you're not having that experience for the first time at a college university, rather you've already had that. And I think it makes you a broader thinker, a broader learner. And like you said earlier, talking about junior boarding school, that's a big advantage for a child who's at a junior boarding school and starting that experience before they even go on to secondary school. They've had that experience.
Well, I know we've been made better at Woodbury through having boys in the last several years from Ukraine. Their backgrounds and their life stories it's helped us see that conflict with a lot wider aperture than we otherwise would.
These kids are unbelievable. They're bright, they're smart, and the opportunities they're having at a boarding school now and being exposed to that diversity, it's only going to help them in the long run. Yeah, I think first and foremost, I think it's essential to, as you're exploring the process of, independent boarding schools, to go out there and compare and contrast, but you physically have to go visit campuses. And personally, having visited so many schools across the United States and Canada and continue to do so, there are so many what I'll call hidden gems.
Right.
And no disrespect to the schools, but maybe some of these schools have not done as good of a job as far as marketing themselves or getting their name out there. Or maybe, in fairness, they haven't been around since the 1700s and have that type of reputation.
Right.
But there's just some awesome opportunities. And I think more often than not is when you get back in that car and you start, as a family, start having that conversation. So what did you think? You're able to really get that strong feeling from having physically visited campus and met with some people. And it is competitive. It's competitive to get into these schools. And these schools, I think, despite the tuition keeping going up, it's a pretty competitive market.
That is certainly the case. And admissions is a contact sport. There's no question.
Yeah, totally. So I think it's, like I said, I'm a huge proponent of independent boarding schools. If you want to check out my website, it's whyboardingschool.com.
That's terrific. You haven't shared with the audience yet about your coaching career, your passion for hockey.
I coached hockey for a lot of years and was fortunate to coach some student athletes who were on some pretty high levels, including the professional ranks. I own a showcase called the Pre-Prep Showcase. This summer is now my 31st year doing it. If you want to check out the website, it's prepprepshowcase.com. And what that does is it gives the boys and girls the opportunity to get exposure to these independent boarding schools through the sport of ice hockey. It's a 4-day event that takes place every summer. We kick things off with the friend of mine, Todd Angeli. He's the national anthem singer for the Boston Bruins.
Oh, that's cool.
And he sings the U.S. and Canadian anthem, gets everyone sort of, pumped up. And we always have some keynote speakers, some pretty powerful presentations. And this year, I've got a boy, a gentleman who spoke last year to Matt Brown. Really tragic story. Became in an accident. It was in a hockey accident. Became paralyzed.
Oh.
So he's wheelchair stricken, and he really just talks a lot about life. It's,
Yeah.
so much bigger than hockey, about his experiences. And then we have a couple different educational consultants who speak. And the panel is awesome. Student athletes, teachers, coaches, administrators, just like we've talking about the independent boarding school process. And then a big school fair that goes on for 3 hours, and the kids play games and practices, and all the coaches are prep school coaches. But if you
Oh,
want to
that's
check it out,
neat.
it's prepprepshowcase.com, but it's a lot of fun.
Well,
Yeah, so.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining the Woodbury Podcast. Grateful that you've taken some time to be with us. Thank you for your insights into the world of boarding schools, both internally and externally. Good luck with all of your work. To all listeners on the Woodbury Podcast, check out Jeff's work with whyboardingschool.com. And thanks again, Jeff, and hope everyone has a great rest of their day. Go Tigers.
Thanks, Byron. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Woodbury Podcast. We hope you found our discussion insightful and engaging. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, rating, or leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Stay tuned for more conversations in the future. And remember, the conversation doesn't have to end here. Connect with us on Woodbury Forest School social media, reach out with your questions or comments, and let's keep the dialogue going. Until next time, take care and go Tigers!